Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, God has called us to be salt. As a matter of fact, he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, this is Jesus saying, and he's saying what God told him to say, because he said nothing unless the Father told him. He said, talking about believers, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Which is a huge doctrinal explosion, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, once salt, always salt. You can't lose your saltiness. It says, this is what he said. You are the salt of the earth. If you're a believer, say, I'm the salt of the earth. Listen to this. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. I mean, think about it. I mean, there's three things that salt do. When you think about salt, I don't know if salt preserves. Mm-hmm. It preserves for years. You know, that's how things were preserved. Meats were preserved for years by smoking and by salt. And they would just pack the meat in the salt. Mm-hmm. And it would just keep it from bacteria, I guess, and all this different. It would just preserve. It would preserve mm-hmm. things. And that's why probably a lot of the foods that we buy have high sodium content in it, because it probably preserves, you know, a lot of those mm-hmm. things that's going on. We've eaten so much salt, I think it's preserving us.
Yeah, right.
But there's something else that salt also adds and brings out the flavor of food. I don't know if you've ever eaten food without salt on it, but it's like, is all food the same? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like, right. Without salt, it's like, I don't think there's any difference between anything.
Bust out the salt, yes. Yeah.
But think about it. I mean, why would this food taste the same as this food when they're not the same food? But I mean, why would it be that way? But and it's interesting, when you add a little salt to it, then it tastes different than the other food. So it just brings out the flavor of the food. And so salt adds to or brings out flavor. When you think about, first of all, when salt preserves, then Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth, that we're called to preserve the message of the kingdom, the church, and to be of the message of hope and love, and that God desires to dwell with men, and we're called to preserve his message, his truth, the church, just in his soon return. We're also called mm-hmm. to add to and to bring flavor to life. Understand that life has no meaning outside of God. That's why when, if you read my testimony, I tried all these different things. I'm trying to find, but there was no salt in it. But I had one particular friend of mine in the Navy that would always, he was a Christian, he would talk to me, and what he would do is sprinkle salt. He would just sprinkle salt. And it just drew me to God, you know, in his life. I didn't make a decision then, but it drew me to God, and I kind of followed him because he just sprinkled things here and there. Of course, I sprinkled some of the world back.
You did?
It was terrible. I'm like, yeah, I heard your singer on some secular station.
Oh,
isn't that terrible? That
is terrible.
But
awful.
I wasn't as bad as Pat was. And but you know, it's just, think about it. It's just, you just, salt's meant to be sprinkled. And what happens is that life has no meaning without salt. So you can, even though somebody does not even know God, that you are supposed to be that sprinkling in their life to make them aware of God. And that your very presence in your marriage, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your state, in your nation, causes people to be aware of God and to bring flavor to life and meaning to life and purpose and direction and vision. And they'll keep searching this after this after this, but they'll remember that what you have has brought flavor to life. It's brought purpose to life and destiny. But you have to remember this too. The last thing I want to talk about salt is, salt aborts. Too much salt aborts. Remember, salt's meant to be sprinkled. I guess yesterday was the 40th year anniversary of Roe versus Wade, and over 55 million children in America have been aborted. Well, a lot of those abortions were done by salt. they would inject salt into the woman's womb, a saline solution, a salt solution, and that would cause the death of the baby and cause the baby to be aborted. Hmm. And you have to understand is just because we know something doesn't mean we should say something. That you can, as a new minister or a new Christian that's desiring to go out and just advance the kingdom, sometimes you have a tendency probably to just abort an opportunity, abort a word of knowledge, abort a person who was about to be born into the kingdom, or a brand new believer, like Jesus said, you go all the way across the sea to win a convert, and you bring them back. And then you put so much on their back that they can't even lift it, mm-hmm. and you don't lift a finger to help them. In other words, they aborted what they put on them. They aborted that birth into the kingdom. And he said, "You made him twice as much a son as hell as you." That's what he said. Mm-hmm. But understanding that salt has to be used, but it has to be used carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling us we're the salt of the earth, and that we can't just. Just because we know something, we shouldn't say something. And you know, there's people that crank off like, "Yes, Leviticus 12," and line, you know, go back to Proverbs. It's like, "Oh my goodness, you got this number thing down. Do you know God? You know, you're cranking off numbers left and right, proving, you know, just, you know,
that you know numbers,
aborting, you know, my thoughts towards you." that you know, people are feeling really intimidated by that a religious spirit like that, and that you got to be careful, that take your time and be patient and long-suffering. And it may take, they say, you can tell me, John, who says this, but seven times, statistically they say seven times you have to sprinkle testimony. Larry Tomczak, that people, most people that do make a decision for God has made it after seven times of hearing about him and mm-hmm. testimonies about him and encounter with him. What does that mean? They've been sprinkled seven times with the love of God and, you know, miracles and whatever that is. But understand that if you can abort it before the other six times come up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is just send a verse of scripture to someone and say, "I'm thinking about you." Or just say, "I'm thinking about you."
Yeah.
Or pray for them. Or have a cup of coffee with them and just be light. And we'll talk more about that in the future, but it goes right from salt to light. And it's like, not only we need to be salt, not only are we the salt of the earth, but we are also the light of the world.
Right.
And so we have a responsibility, you know, before God to be the salt and the light. And think about it. He said, I'm just going to talk about it. He says that we're going to finish this up after the break. I'm going to talk to you about the light, because we're called to be the salt and the light. Jesus says, when he's talking to his followers, he says, you know, you are the salt of the earth. When you think about it, that salt really does three things. It preserves, and we're called to preserve the kingdom, preserve the church. Salt also adds to or brings out flavor in something. And also, too much salt aborts. Mm-hmm. And not only does it, you think about it, as we talked about, even aborting, you know, that it'll abort life itself of adults, because they say if you're eating too much salt,
yeah,
it takes your life out. Your blood pressure goes up and then your life ends. But yet it was good in moderation, and you needed it to be able to have a zest in life and some a flavor of life. But too much salt will abort your own life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But then he also says, and he says, this is what Jesus tells us that we are. And, you know, so many people need to be sprinkled with salt, salt of God's hope and love, and it just changes their life forever. But also, then he goes on and says, you are the light of the world. I mean, think about it. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's huge, isn't it? When we're standing in darkness and screaming at darkness, and we're Christians, and we said, "Wait a minute, Jesus said you are the light of the world. Why are you screaming into our darkness? Why don't you just shine your light?"
Right.
Think about it. Why should we scream at darkness if we're the light?
Mm-hmm.
And we're the light of the world. You should be able to take a believer around with you, and everywhere you're going, no matter how dark it is, you should be able to see your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it should be. He says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Listen, if we're saying, listen, nobody's acknowledging God. Nobody's praising God. Like I said yesterday, you know, people in the 50s who didn't even know God feared God.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? But Christians were letting their light shine.
Right. Yeah.
They were shining their light. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who's in heaven. So we want people to start acknowledging and praising God. Then we have to be that light. We have to begin to do what's right ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you think about light, that's just so important because without it, you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
Without it, you're blind or you're living off someone else's light. And, you know, David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, it tells me where I am, and a light unto my path, it tells me where I'm going. When I take God's light into me, the word into me, and Christ is in me, when I just allow that to come out of my life, I just share what's happening in my life. I share about what God revealed to me, maybe that day in my abiding time. Maybe I share about a testimony, how God moved, or I just go help somebody in a time of need, bringing them shelter or clothing or something, and just whatever. By doing these things, that's the light of God shining.
Mm-hmm.
That's the light of God shining. That's what he's called us to do. And he's thinking about it. Do you think about this? This is, I already believe the Lord would say, well, I don't know. This is what I'd say. Did I do all this in your life so you could hide this light?
Mm. Under a bowl?
Under a bowl?
Mm.
Did I, you know where I got you from. Do you think I did all this so you don't shine this reality on anybody else? That you don't tell them your testimony? That you don't? Do you think I provided for you and took care of you and you're not going to tell anybody about it? You're not going to let any light shine? Do you really think that I meant for this to be hid under a bowl? You're the light of the world.
Mm.
I really believe that's what he's saying. You're the light of the world.
Mm. Yeah.
You're the salt of the earth. Life has no meaning without you sprinkling the truths of God's realities upon them and shining the light to let them know where things are at and acknowledging God. They'll do that when we actually begin to be the light of the world. I mean, how many times are we guilty of screaming or hollering at darkness and realizing, you know what, we just need to be the light. Dark people can't be light.
Right.
You know, people that walk in darkness can't be light. And the whole thing is that we can actually sprinkle the salt of God's truths in their life by just being there for them and helping them out. And, you know, one thing that I love to do, and it's in me, and I encourage other people always do, is, you know, there's a time when you don't have a job and you're looking for a job and you know how to do it. And but there's a time when somebody else doesn't have a job, but a lot of people don't think about, hey, you should always be looking for jobs because you can hand them out.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
You can hand them out. You should always look for jobs. Not when good, you got yours, but what about 23 million people in America who don't have one?
Mm-hmm.
How loving and kind and how much light is that when you said that you prayed about, you know, about finding a job and God revealed this job to you and you hand it to somebody?
Mm.
That's, God just gets glory for that.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, what they do with it, it's up to them. But the fact is that, you know, God says, I'll bless the work of your hands, and that he can just bless somebody with economy. But something as simple as like, you know, I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to look for jobs for people, and I'm going to pray that God would lead me to people who need them. And it happens all the time. I think about, you know, Brett in Denver. I mean, he was able to, mm-hmm. to lead a friend of his to a job. And I think about so many. We've done mm-hmm. that so many times, haven't we?
Just
so many jobs. That's really cool. I mean, think about it. Because when you lead somebody to a job who is a worker, that's food for them. That's shelter for them. That's a future in regards to being able to survive in their present nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot because you're leading them to, you're not fishing for them. You're teaching them how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, here. You know, most people are trying to step over people, trying to get promotions and jobs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it will blow somebody away, and it does. In their thought life, when you start saying, you know, I was just praying at just this job right here for this particular agent or whatever, that you're supposed to have this. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what great. God does. God provides for us.
Yeah, it's a great witness, you know, because a lot, like you said, a lot of times everyone's looking out for themselves. But it's a great way for us to be able to share with others, you know. And listen, if you help me with a need, you know what I'm saying? If I don't know God and you help me and you tell me you were praying for me, and you not only prayed, but you actually got, you know, invested in me, and you actually went in search and maybe looked and came across and you shared that with me, dude, I'm open to hear anything else you got to say.
Right. And if I shut you down about a month or so, I'll remember down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
That it was God that led me to this job, and he used you to do it. And they'll probably even be in their meetings going, you know, this job was brought to me. It was, you know, somebody had prayed.
Undeniable.
Right? Undeniable, and they become a witness for the glory of God.
Yeah. Right.
And it really is better to give than receive. I'm telling you, I encourage you to begin to believe God. And tell me, why wouldn't God make a job available to you if you're actually going to give it to someone else?
I'm just thinking about the woman that we shared about the other day on the program, that she got so blessed. God was, there was so much light being shined on her that the Lord blessed her with a car and with a job.
Right.
On her birthday.
Best money in town, best hours you need, paid her bills, did everything. Yeah.
And that's something that she'll never forget, no matter right. where she goes, that God was the one that did that for me.
Yes. Yeah. And so I encourage you, as we're coming to the end of the first hour, to do that, to look and ask God, say, God, help me, give me a job that I can give to someone else.
You know, it was just amazing. Earlier when you were talking about being the light, reminded me of something God was speaking to me about the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then in First John, the word says that this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light.
Mm.
In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin.
Wow.
Yeah, I just thought that was just so powerful.
But that's how we're the light of the world, not just being existing, right, but actually walking with God.
Right, it's walking with God, and the light is God's word. You know, and he just as I meditated on it, he just began to talk to me. And, you know, I had mentioned this yesterday, but God tells us to write his commands on our heart. And this is why we are to abide. When we abide, you know, he was telling me that this is what is meant by walking in the light. The light is God's word and will keep us, and will keep darkness from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is for there is no darkness that is in God. Therefore, darkness will not be in us.
There's protection in right. walking in the light.
Yes. Yeah, you know, therefore, darkness can't overtake us,
mm-hmm.
you know, as long as we're walking in the Word and in his light.
So it's not our own light. When he says you're the light of the world, really, it's Christ's light.
His light shining through us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just what's so important, and that what we need to stand on, and that it's his Word. It's not our Word. It's not our light. It's his light.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's really good.
Yeah, you know, so it's just very powerful. You know, And it took me to Psalms where David says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You know, God will not listen to us if we do not abide, or if we do not deal with the sin that's in our hearts.
Mm.
You know, the sin is the darkness. You know, and it's just so imperative to, you know, continually deal with that and cherish God's word in our heart.
So darkness chokes out the light.
Darkness chokes out the light.
Wow. And that's why you say, you know, you don't want to play with sin. You don't want to take things into your eyes. It's ungodly. You don't want right. to do this because you're choking out your light,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So being the light of the world, that really goes right in, like you're saying, with that's Christ's light shining through us.
Right.
Wow. So cool. So awesome.
Yeah.
And he didn't do all this in our life for our light not to shine, or his light not to shine through us.
Right. Like you were saying, we're not supposed to put it under a bowl. We're supposed to be out there letting God's light shine through us into other people's darkness.
Right.
You know, instead of screaming at darkness, it's our light that penetrates.
Wow. Like Tommy Tenney said, he said that Jesus has this idea that church is all about him. I love that. You know, in God Chasers, he's talking about it, that it is about his. We were lost and undone without him. We were in That's utter right. darkness. The light shined in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not.
Not.
And so when we walk into darkness, we're allowing Jesus Christ's light, his light that's in us. When we open our mouths and we do what we do, That's allowing God. You as a Christian right now, when you do that, your light's shining. And people don't say, hey, just thank you for shining on me. They don't just people walk up. But listen, they feel the presence of God. They the Holy Spirit works in that whole situation. And it's not about how we keep up with what happened with that person. Understand God will accomplish things in their life that you might not know about just by you being the light. So many people are trying to do something that looks religious, that lines up with the religious folks of the day, and versus saying, you know what? I'm supposed to be light here. That's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. And if you'll be light in the midst of that darkness, there will be people that come to the light. They'll come to the light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll find out, my goodness, I don't know what that was, but this is good. I like what God is doing here.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.